Mom?
I have an archdemon possessing the body of an innocent 11-year-old boy. Of course, we sent in the best exorcists, but they failed.
Who are you?
I'm gonna help your son. I don't do exorcisms. I don't use religious methods to treat the symptoms. I go inside the victim's mind to treat the disease. I evict the demon from the inside. We're in your head.
We are back with another review here. And this one's a very, very special review because it's a movie that possibly no one's going to fucking see and possibly a movie that no one has fucking seen. Doing this review a little bit late there wasn't no screeners for this, and this was the only major release theater, only major release film coming out in theaters this weekend. So since there wasn't no screeners, I had to go on my own to 2 cents of a dime and pay for this, and I went out of my way. I even went to Costa Mesa to go watch this because they had a restaurant out there I wanted to try out. So I said, hey, it's a theater right next door. Let me kill 2 birds with 1 stone, and I get to try this restaurant out, and I get to go check out this film. And boy, oh boy, did I check this film. I saw this film today at literally, I think it started at 1:40 p.m., and there was about a total of 4 other people in there. Really nice theater, too, I gotta say. It was really clean in this bitch. And the entrance of it just looked gorgeous as well, too, here. The compliment the theater and stuff. But I'm here to talk about Incarnate. I don't know how you say that. And really, I don't really give a damn. But it's got Aaron Eckhart in here, so that must mean something, right? Right? Nah, 2008 is over. Just like his career. Anyway, though, plot synopsis here. So, Aaron Eckhart, basically, we see a boy, David Mazouz, I believe is his actor's name, and he plays Bruce Wayne on Gotham. Oh, look at that, Two-Face and Bruce Wayne in the same movie together again. Oh, never would have ever thought that, see that again. But you can clearly tell that this movie's been sitting on a shelf because he looks really young in this compared to what he does in Gotham, which he looks a lot older. So this has probably been sitting on a shelf, and I originally thought it was a Darkness sequel or something like that just because of how the trailer sold it. But David Mazouz and his mother, they move into a new, I guess, apartment or whatever, somewhere in Los Angeles. It looks like a really shitty-ass apartment, by the way, too. It's all dirty and fuck. And as they're going in the entrance of their apartment door, he looks across the street and he seems a homeless person doing some Jim Carrey. It's like chattering on his teeth and everything. I couldn't tell if it was a girl or a dude, but I'm looking at it right now and it was a girl played by Petra Spreacher. I'm probably fucking every name up in here, by the way. And next thing you know it, he's got this thing where, you know, his father calls. I don't remember. His father is played by Matt Nable, Dan, in the film. And his mother has been avoiding his call, so, you know, she falls asleep. He takes the phone, and he hears the voicemail and about how, you know, she's keeping their son away from him and stuff like that. Next thing you know, he decides, hell, I'm going to go to bed. He wakes up, he hears some loud noise, and it's just the window. It's open. And the funny thing is, they're on, like, damn near the 11th floor or whatever, so it's high up. So he's just like, oh, it doesn't come through that way. Sure enough, he turns around, and he sees some dirty-ass footprints, and he's like, oh, shit. And then he looks behind the stove, and I'm like, how the hell dark is it in this kitchen that you can't even see between the crack of the stove? Sure enough, this chick is up on the damn ceiling, and then next thing you know it just jumps on him and just touches him. Because this is, I kid you not, if you wait for the stupid part, this is how the demon spreads itself through human beings. Is all it has to do is touch you. Touches him, and the next you know it, this kid, David, which I don't even remember his name in the damn film, to be honest, he turns this homeless person around. Next thing you know, he's on top of her, he's showing confidence, and he snaps this homeless person next. Next thing you know it, this lady is screaming, and then the movie cuts to a title card with this music playing. And next you know what I said, what the fuck? He wakes up, And, well, no, he snaps the neck and he just looks at the camera, eyes red. You see this shot in the trailer, and then all you hear is, and he's like, what? And then the title card comes up, and this is Incarnate. And then this music continues because we open up with the next scene, Aaron Eckhart in a club. And he's getting ready to do an exorcism, if you will. You know, I'm just going to let this movie play throughout the whole review here. And he's going to do an exorcism, basically. But he doesn't call him exorcism because he doesn't want anything to do with the church. So this takes all the religious aspect out of it. And basically what he says is, I'm here to evict. I don't exorcise demons. I evict them. Demons are not real. You're just parasites that feed off from the human beings. And I looked at that and said, that has got to be the stupidest shit I've ever heard. But fuck it, I'm laughing and I'm going with it. So he evicts this demon, if you will. And he's on a hunt, though, looking for one particular demon. Or a tenant, if you will. And she goes by the name of Maggie. And Maggie is a person, because there's a backstory to Aaron Eckhart and why he does this. He's in a wheelchair, crippled, due to a car accident where it killed his wife and 11-year-old son. And this Maggie apparently had something to do with that, because it was a demon and pretty much said, you know, I'm going to take everyone in your life and stuff like that. So as a young boy, apparently this dude was able to sleep and enter people's dreams. So he found it upon himself to look for this specific demon, Maggie, to take her out and get his revenge once and for all. So Maggie is playing games with him by possessing the innocence of this boy, which it makes no sense. If Maggie's out to get him, why don't she just possess him? But whatever, I digress. So he makes it his MO now to help this boy. Well, not even so much help him, just to get his revenge on killing this bitch. And that's your plot synopsis, really. This movie is like Dream Warriors meets Inception meets The Exorcist. Except a lot shittier than those three movies. Because those three movies actually are cool. And I'm talking about the original Exorcist too, or whatever. And Dream Warriors, obviously, is probably the best Freddy Krueger film. Nightmare on Elm Street. And then Inception, well, it's Christopher Nolan. And a really damn good movie, to say the least here. So, I'm sorry, I'm laughing at this music. This music fit. This is how you know this movie sat on the shelf, first of all. The fact that this music, this song choice was in here, it blew my fucking mind. I was like, how old is this shit again? It's like 2013, I think. So, either way, though, I digress. Aaron Eckhart here, he is acting his ass off. It is fucking laughable, too. Because he's just sitting there going like, why are you doing this? And then, I kid you not, this demon... If you think demons are in any other film are fucking lazy, all they do is like slam doors and ready to kill you, then you haven't seen this demon in this film. All this demon does in this film is just sit in the room, and which, by the way, that anyone can walk in. They managed to clear this boy's room out of his bed and all of his toys and stuff. And just let him sit in an empty room now. Because that's all he does is sit and meditates. And when people walk in, he just tells them stories. It's like, hey, how's it going? You know, it's like, what the fuck? So he meditates basically and just talks shit. And here's the thing, too, of how they get him from spreading or doing anything. They lock the door. This has got to be the weakest fucking demon ever. Like, I love it because they're saying, because Aaron Eckhart's name is here is Dr. Ember, which is a weird-ass name itself. And they're like, he's in here, Dr. Ember. And what they do is they get a key from the door, the top of the door, and they open the door. And I was like, wait a minute, hold on. I know y'all not keeping the demon locked up by just locking the goddamn door here. Sure enough, that's what they do, because even when Aaron Eckhart leaves, he says, I got to go get my crew. Make sure you lock this door up. I was like, what? And there was another thing in the movie, too, that I could not get, that the fact that they deliberately, because this movie's got a lot of fucking exposition of explaining this shit to you, and it really don't make any sense. Because it's like, wait a minute, if the demon can travel through hosts just by touching people, why is it just sitting in this room meditating all damn day then? Shouldn't it be traveling from people to people? Like, demon, you could literally attract yourself
to the President of the United States and just cause World War III nuke in every place you wanted to if you really wanted to cause mass chaos or anything. But no, this demon has just got a vendetta against Aaron Eckhart because it's like, I killed your family, bitch, and I'm going to torture your ass now, too. It's like, okay, this demon's just a dick then, basically. So, and then there's some other parts in here, too, that are way fucking more questionable. The fact that Aaron Eckhart could enter his dream, because people, they actually got computers for this shit. To where, and they explained this too in good detail, talking about how you see these circles right here, usually that would be a brain pattern right there, but what that is, that's a sleep pattern right there to let you know how the conscience has entered the other one's con. I just looked at that, my eyes were big as hell, just like, no the fuck they did not just say that. They got computers. It's pretty much a proton pack hooked on the back of Aaron Eckhart's wheelchair. And I wish I could have grabbed a photo of this, but I saw one of the workers kept coming in the theater, and I wanted to grab a photo real quick of that screenshot, because that shit had me laughing how much that thing just looked like a proton pack on the back of a wheelchair. It looked like it was going to make that thing get a turbo boost or something like that. Aaron Eckhart's acting his ass off in here, but everyone else in here, they fucking suck. They fucking suck. But they suck on the point where it's damn near laughable. This kid, David Mazouz, look, I ain't a fan of Gotham. Or at least I wasn't. I heard it's gotten way better, but I haven't watched it. I saw this kid in the darkness. He didn't really get to do anything in the darkness besides what he's doing in here. That's just screaming and looking at people really weird and shit. And here, he's not doing a damn thing either. Matter of fact, he's probably worse in this, even though he has less to do in this film than he did in The Darkness, which is kind of weird as hell, if you ask me. And the whole thing of Aaron Eckhart's duty here is they explain this whole thing of, like, it's not exorcising demons or anything like that. It's pretty much what we do is we extract the parasite from the brain because the parasite puts you in a dream fantasy of what your true desires and beliefs are. And all I could think of is, do me, do me, do me. And if you've seen the trailer for that new one, then you get that reference as well. So the parasite is controlling your body as it leaves your conscience in a dream state. So Aaron Eckhart is to break that concentration by going into your dream and showing you that this situation you're in is a lie, and to bring you back to the real world. Then the demon will exit the body and die, or it will try to transfer to a new body. And when they find out it's Maggie, she's the most powerful of them all, apparently, because she's just got a bitch fit against Aaron Eckhart. This movie, not only does it suck ass, but I gotta say, this shit is funny as fuck, okay? Like, it is beyond laughable, and you just can't help but shake your head and go, I think this might be the best comedy of the year so far. I mean, there's just shit in here that just questions your existence. As far as, when it comes to Aaron Eckhart, you just can't help but shake your head and go, like, I still don't know what you're doing in this. I really don't. He's like an alcoholic, drunk, drunken, lazy Charles Xavier or whatever. There's a scene where he goes looking for the father because, I don't know, this movie just wanted to kill more time because he's like, I saw in the boy's dream, he's playing catch with his father. We need to bring his father here. And his mother's like, no, we can't bring him here because he hurt us. He used to beat me and he broke David's arm. And it's like, well, we need to try something. So they go get him at a bar. And I love it. They're in that car. He wheelchairs his ass in there. And he's a complete badass in this film in a fucking wheelchair. He just drinks this other dude's drink. And then the dude's like, hey. And he's like, fuck you. I'm in a wheelchair. What are you going to do? And he just wheels away. And then he goes up to the dad. And the dad tries to fight him. But I don't know if Aaron Eckhart got out of the wheelchair. This scene looks so bad. Because you can see him get his ass out of the chair to at least stand up just a little bit to grab this dude by the neck and throw him down or whatever and strangle him. And it was just like, okay, come on. And then everybody's looking like, oh shit. Scared of this wheelchair, dude. Just tilt his ass over if you had to. See, so they bring the father in. He's like, son, know I love you, man. He's like, and they're talking, and the demon's like letting go of David, and the next door, a demon comes back, breaks his father's arm, and says, yeah, but David's not in here. Fuck your forgiveness. And then just slams in the wall, and they kill him. And then that's it of him. You'll never bring that story up again. There's a scene in here, too, where I guess there's another preacher or something like that from the Vatican. He's got, like, his own set. Basically, this movie is a fucking universe for demon exorcists. It's got, like, demon shop set up of people from the Vatican that does, like, exorcisms. And this one dude, he had a shop, like, he was fucking Wesley in Blade or something like that. And he's got, like, devices and weapons. He's like, you see that right there? I caught one of the fuckers, and I need to do samples on him. I'm taking blood samples. He's like, but if you're going to fight Maggie, I've developed this sample right here that'll help you fight that bitch back right here. You take this. And Eric's like, I don't need your special drugs to fight her. I don't do it that way. I do it my way. He's just like, what? I didn't know what was going on. It was almost like that scene in Inferno where he just opened up a drawer for Irfan Khan character, and he had all them badass Assassin's Creed swords and shit like that. That's kind of like this scene was like here. It was just weird as hell. But this scene shows no meaning to, only to come back and see that Aaron Eckhart's character has to go back to this place eventually to get that sample that this doctor created, and just to show a scene where that thing that he captured got out so Aaron Eckhart could have a fight scene with it, because hey, it's a horror film and we just gotta kill people, you know. So somebody's gotta die. So he takes his little ass razor and somehow manages to chop this dude's head off, and I was like, this movie just clearly don't give a fuck, especially in this third act, because my god, the special effects in here look like shit. They look like shit. There's definitely some pacing issues in this film too, and those two scenes I talked about with the father and with this scene with the pastor from the Vatican easily just felt out of place and kind of came out of nowhere, and it just felt like there were just scenes there just to take you out of the apartment element of just being Aaron Eckhart and this boy. This movie possibly should have been only an hour and 10 minutes, shaving off 21 minutes off of this film just to really get to the point. But there's a lot of panning in the film to where you're just going like, why is this here? Why is this here? And then you realize, oh, it's just to kill time. Then, I kid you not, Aaron Eckhart all of a sudden becomes a badass. He's like, you take this vial and you stick it in my fucking IV if I don't come back, because I'm not coming back, and neither is she. Neither is Maggie, but I'm going to get that boy back. And next door, he's like, the one thing that he can use to wake him up, he just decides, he's like, let me see that. He breaks it and says, we ain't coming back together. And you're just like, okay, Eric, please calm down. He goes in there and he convinces David, oh, this is fake, this is just a dream and stuff like that. Next, you know, him and the demon have like a brawl. They're just like throwing fists at each other and shit. It's weird as fuck in this third act. And then next, you know, they somewhat make it out by jumping out of a window, but then only to wake up with a dream within a dream. And then you can just predict the shit a mile away too. You're just sitting there going like, I know they ain't about to end this with a dream within a dream. And sure enough, it is a dream within a dream of another fight scene between Aaron Eckhart and this demon, only for him to save the boy by sacrificing himself. And the demon takes hold of Aaron Eckhart, but then they pump him full of that serum that he got from that doctor, and he's killed himself, and he's like, oh, you can hear him too. He's like, you bitch, you'll die for this, whatever. And he opens up the window, and Aaron Eckhart just jumped out that bitch, and his eyes are still moving, and people are like, don't touch him, don't touch him, don't touch him. Only for him to get into an ambulance and the ER. They bring him back. They get a heart pulse, a heart rate on him and stuff like that. They get his pulse going. And he touches the lady that really brought him in or whatever. And next, you know what? He dies. Aaron Eckhart dies. And then you can see the lady. She starts to look normal. She's like, and then you can tell just by them touching, he transferred the demon over to her. Now he's just like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. And then the movie ends. And you know what it does? I'll tell you what it does. What it does. It does this. Title card pops up, and it cuts off.
and it just yells, Sam! And I love it because people was leaving the theater. I was the only one sitting there. I was like, I gotta watch these title credits right here. Why not cut the music off? Keep that going. I said, I gotta watch these credits. And this, it's like a Marvel stinger where this music is playing. I want to get to the real credits. I just got this cheap ass text slide scrolling. It looks like something that came out of a Z movie or something. Oh, this movie's a streaming. Look, I ain't saying, you know, like, I'm gonna give it a low streaming. I gotta go no streaming, but this a low streaming. This might be the year just saying fuck it with horror. I mean, well, it's the year every year with horror saying fuck it, but this one just took the cake for me. I can't remember the last time I was just laughing my ass off. You know, this is the thing I love about sometimes about having to pay for these movies, therefore, you know, not seeing early advanced screeners. I get to tweet these moments that are happening or whatever, so it's kind of like a live reaction tweet of me watching the film. And those, I love doing those. Those are fun as hell. And my reaction to this was just fucking hilarious. I was laughing my ass off at some of the things. But I'm not, especially the middle half, it's really boring. There's not a lot of this stuff going on. I think what's so funny about the middle half for me is the exposition of how they explain this shit, because I love when the mother of David asks, what are these computers for? And they get into detail saying, well, this right here is what we plug into the doctor's brain syndrome. So it can create a circle right here, which are usually brain patterns, but this is his sleep pattern. And I was like, okay. This is the stupidest shit ever. I mean, so if you go in here, I say, watch this movie at an AMC dine-in or wherever they sell food and alcohol, and you can take it to the theater with you. You get some friends, this is going to be a damn good time at the theaters. I'm not going to lie, I laugh my ass off. This is the best comedy of the year, and I got to give this a low streaming.
Sam! Wake up, buddy.
Something wrong, Henry?
This entity is strong. Strongest I've ever encountered.
What happens when this entity is done with a kid and decides to jump?
The boy dies.